Shalom, 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 Yasharal. This is the voice that cries out in the wilderness, Yakaz Koyahu, here on this first day of the week. I pray that you're doing well, brothers. As I pray that everything is the way it should be according to his goodness. It's been a while since I talked to you, a couple weeks here, but I'm trying to stay on a regular schedule every other week or every 2 weeks. So this is the first post for the pagan new year. If you're in this walk and you've been doing this for some time, you know our new year begins in the springtime, in the month of Abib. So right now we are just continuing on with our last year as it stands. I pray that everybody's doing well. I pray that there's many of you guys that are safe. There's been a lot of different crazy weather going on. I've been understanding as far as snowstorms and things like that. Even where I'm from, there were some tornadoes yesterday. But I pray that you all had a blessed Shabbat. I pray that the Most High has kept you in everything that you are doing. I'm not going to be talking to you about any specific topic today, but I just wanted to greet you. I had the pleasure to speak to an online group yesterday. So what I'm going to do is I recorded it. So what I'm doing is going to submit and play to you the recording of the lesson that I presented yesterday. And the lesson is called The Garment of Righteousness. So listen to this. Listen to it, guys. Read the scripture. Go over everything. Marinate on it. I pray that this is timely for anybody that hears this. And I pray that you're able to take these words that the Most High gave me and apply them, especially right now. With that being said, and also at the end of it, you continue listening. I am going to play a little acapella praise song that from Okoti. So with that being said, I love you all. And until next time. Shalom, shalom. Shalom, shalom. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay.
I see you too.
You can see me too? Alrighty. Hi. It's been a while since I've seen everybody. All praises to the Most High Yah. Before we begin, I want to go ahead and just say a quick prayer to get us in the mindset, to get us focused on the kingdom and Yah's throne. So, Almighty Yahuwah, we come before you, Father Yah, just thanking you and giving you praise and thanks for everything you do for us. Shabbat shalom unto you, Abba Yah, for you are the Father of all creation, and we just thank you, Father Yah. We give you all the praise and honor and glory through this time, through this moment. Father Yah, we thank you for everybody that's here on this call. We pray that your words that are coming through forth right now, Abba Yah, that they're your words and not my words. Let them elevate us to a higher level in understanding and righteousness and ruach in you, Abba Yah. We love you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for everything you do. We thank you for your son, Yahusha's sacrifice for our sins. And we accept that sacrifice. And it's through your son, Yahusha's name, we pray. Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. So, yes, we are going to be talking about the title is the called the Garment of Righteousness. Is this something I've been kind of this last month? I've been doing a lot of extra studying and through some extra books and things, and some things I've been seeing. I've been kind of noticing that kind of not just as in our walk as a whole, as our people as a whole, but my walk and understanding that I needed more. I needed to do more within what I was doing. So this is actually where this is coming from. So just take this as Yah has given it to me. Today we're going to talk about understanding of righteousness more than anything. All right. And I believe if I'm wrong, I'm sorry. But I believe in Pekahiah, who talked about a little bit about righteousness during the Feast of Tabernacles. You've probably heard talks of righteousness before, but I want to do is kind of maybe hopefully give us a different understanding or thought process on what it is. Okay. So Keith, if you can pull up the Strong's for righteousness, which is H6666. All right. So we have the basic words for that. You have rightness, justice, morality, virtue, justice, prosperity. Okay, so that's like the basic tenets of this understanding of righteousness. Okay, and you think about it, and the word itself is tzedak. You think about it, it's interesting. Like at surface level, when you're referring to it, it is a system of laws, right? So the basic understanding, if you think about this, justice is righteousness. Okay, so we have that's kind of interesting if you really think about it. If you really put the understanding to that, you cannot expect justice or righteousness from an unrighteous system, right? So we cannot expect justice or tzedak from an unrighteous system. So when we see our people marching and chanting for justice, right? They're saying the words "no justice, no peace," or in other words, "no tzedak, no shalom." They're correct, because without righteousness, there will be no shalom. Right? That's just not going the way it's. That's not the way it's happening. It's not going to happen. So when you understand justice, our people don't realize from this that our problems, the things that we have been facing in this land, is due to the unrighteous deeds of our ancestors. And I hope that everybody on the call understands that, but it's due in all reality to the unrighteous deeds of our ancestors, which caused us to be removed from our land, which caused us to be thrown into captivity, which caused many of our people to be destroyed. We know the story, but it's our result of unrighteousness, right? So, like I said, when we see our people being murdered in the street by an unrighteous system, we're going to them asking for justice. How can we do that? We cannot ask a system for justice when they're already unjust or wicked to begin with. We cannot ask a system for justice when we ran away from our righteousness, our justice system, right? Yah gave us over into the hands of our enemy, our lovers, right? He said these things. So we cannot do, it's like you, it's kind of crazy. It's like the sense of insanity when you think about it. The people that kind of constantly hit their head against the wall and expect a different outcome. It doesn't work that way, right? So these are all based on the unrighteous deeds of our ancestors. So we are in response, because of that, receiving unrighteous acts from our enemy. Amazing how this works, right? So, but looking into the deeper word of tzedak, you have the three letters, right? You have the tzaddi, you have the dalet, and the kof, which comes for tzedak. And putting those three together, you get what is known as walking the straight path. So righteousness means to walk a straight path. So if you know, and Akoti Olivia has been doing a great job on teaching our tongue, our native tongue. So we know that every part of every word, every letter has a specific meaning. So when we see these things, it's not hard to believe what our Creator wants from us and what He loves. He loves righteousness. So Akefa, could you pull up Psalms 11, verse 7? Right? He says, "For the righteous Yahuwah loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright." Okay? He loves righteousness. His face beholds the upright. So it's safe to say by this statement, by this scripture, the Yah will not even look upon the unrighteous. Right? He can't dwell in it with sin. He doesn't want to be around it. So why would he think that he's going to even look upon us if we're unrighteous? All right? You know that it's important. We're talking about the garment, and I'm going to get into the garment today. And a lot of it, some of this kind of blew my mind when I was looking into this. But we look at garment of righteousness. If we want to be looked upon, we have to put on this garment of righteousness. right? With all this foolishness that's going on these days, I'm on the awakening, especially I'm on the awakening. All these different things, these people so-called being in the awakening, and they're still walking in unrighteous or mingling the walk of the Father with the world or with unrighteousness or with Baal worship, that type of stuff. And by seeing this, it's actually kind of amazing that we haven't been wiped out yet. Right? If it wasn't for Yah's covenants and his tender mercy, which renews daily, we would have already been wiped out one so long ago as a people. I've been around this awakening now for 9 years. I'm going into my 10th year. So I've actually seen a lot. Me and my family, we've seen a lot. I've seen so-called camps come and go. I've seen so-called mores accused of adultery. I've seen these mores, these different camps with the possibility that witchcraft is around them. Why is that in the same breath as something that you're pushing for toward the Most High? I've seen camps or groups telling people that that the only place to worship is with them, that they're the only people to get the sign or the word from Yahusha, and that nobody, we shouldn't go anyplace else. I'm not joking. I've seen so-called Mores being accused more than once of stealing money from the organization they run. And it saddens me, because many of these people are doing this under the name of Almighty Yahuwah, the Father of all creation, disguising the righteous acts or righteousness with the unrighteous. And Ak Johnson just said it, the tares. We have tares among us. And if you think about that scripture, when they talk about the wheats and the tares, it's letting you know that these tares, they look like you, they sound like you, they talk like you. You have to wait and watch their fruits. So, Kefa, let's go to Isaiah 64:6. This actually gives a nice little breakdown of what we see with this. But we are all as unclean things, as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. That's why I've been seeing camps come and go. They fade like the leaf. These are unrighteous acts that we're seeing, and we look at that part, the rags, the filthy rags, and we're going to get a little bit more into that, but you know that's referring to a woman's menstrual pad. That's what he's describing us as. Family, we have to realize that Hasatan, we know, we've looked at the name of Hasatan. His name means accuser. So I submit and I say this. Let's not give him a reason to be able to accuse us of anything. Now, we know that the enemy is going to push false accusation against us from time to time. They did that to the Messiah, but that's not always the case, family. If we were walking the straight path, Satan won't see us anyway, because his path leads to destruction. While we dabbling in the wide path, we're supposed to be in the straight and narrow path, walking the straight path, which is righteousness. Right? This takes me to another point I want to say. Now, make sure you guys get this, what I'm saying. I think it's important to honor the feast days. We've gone through studies. I've heard the Ox go through studies. And that's great. 9 years I've been into this, I've kept all feasts. Y'all think, praise the Most High. I've tried to keep them the best I can, especially in the land of my captivity. But I think it's more important, and I have to emphasize this, in walking in righteousness and less on when the feast days are. Right? How does it benefit us knowing when they are, making sure we all on the same day, if we're walking in unrighteousness, if we're wearing the garments of unrighteousness, if we're wearing the garments, the filthy rags of unrighteousness, How does it benefit us? What does it do for us if that's the case? Knowing when they are, having all this knowledge of when they are, but we're still walking in unrighteousness. And I'm talking about stuff like this. At the feast, gossiping. Rushing through the preparation period. Taking the feast as a vacation, not a visitation of the Most High. These feasts are appointed times of Yahuwah when he comes to meet with his people. The Shabbat is a sign between him and his people. If you want things to be changed in your life, you have to take these things seriously. So honestly, what do we think will happen if we show up his feast with the garments of unrighteousness on? I mean, do we really think that Yahuwah is going to be there? I mean, didn't he just say with the Psalms 11, or was it Psalms 11 I just read, that his face shines and the countenance shines on the righteous? So he's not looking at the unrighteous at all. But let's not forget again, family. Why is it the fact that we don't know, or we have so much confusion throughout all the camps, throughout all the world, when the feast days are? Well, if you don't know, let's go ahead and look at Jubilees chapter 6, verse 31 through 38. So this is going to tell us real quick as to why we have no clue when a lot of these things are. And there is no neglect in this commandment for a single year or from year to year. And command you, the children of Israel, that they deserve the years according to this reckoning, 364 days, and will constitute a complete year. And they will not disturb its time from its days and from its feasts. For everything will fall out in them according to their testimony, and they will not leave out any day nor disturb any feast. But if they do neglect and do not observe them according to his commandment, then they will disturb all their seasons, and the years will be dislodged from this order. And they will disturb the seasons and the years with this, and they will be dislodged. And they will neglect their ordinances. And the children of Israel will forget and will not find the path of the years. You see that? And will forget the new months and seasons and Shabbats, and they will go wrong as to the order of the years. For I know, and from henceforth will I declare it unto you, as it is not of my own devising. For the book is written before me, and on the heavenly tablets the division of days is ordained. Lest they forget the feast of the covenant, and walk according to the feast of the Gentiles after their error and after their ignorance. For there will be those who will surely make observations of the moon, how it disturbs the seasons and comes in from year to year, 10 days too soon. For this reason, the years will come upon them when they disturb the order, and make an abominable day the day of testimony, and an unclean day a feast day, and they will confound all the days, the Kodesh with the unclean, and the unclean with the Kodesh, for they will go wrong as to the months, and Shabbats, and feasts, and jubilees. 38. For this reason I command and testify to you, that you may testify to them, for after your death your children will disturb them, so that they will not make the year 364 days only, and for this reason they will go wrong as to the new months and the seasons and Shabbats and festivals, and they will eat all kinds of blood with all kinds of flesh. That kind of gives us our understanding right there. Our disobedience. Our not keeping these things while we're in our land. We don't know this stuff. And again, a lot of the feasts, we can go into this, not this title, this is not this lesson. But we can go into that. A lot of the feasts are tied to the land. So what are we doing here? Are honoring the feast important? Yes, I believe so. Because what? It is a dress rehearsal only. But we don't dress up in the wrong clothes or come to the visitation with the wrong garments on. So let's put on the garment of righteousness so Yahuwah's countenance will look upon us. I think I'm going to pause real quick right there. I might just say that again so y'all, we can get that. If y'all want to write that down or whatever, Do not come to the feast in a dress rehearsal with the wrong garments on. Let's put on the garment of righteousness so Yahuwah's countenance will look upon us. Oh, Yahuwah, don't get, I'm getting there. Don't rush me, Yahuwah, I'm getting there. Kepha, go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. I'm getting something. I'm getting someplace now. Let's just bear with me. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Oh, what does that say? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We may have been in the walk as long as I have or longer, but the question is, do we hunger and thirst after righteousness? Do we? I think that's a question we all have to ask ourselves. And I'm not talking to anybody specifically. You know, a lot of times, you know, they say the word is a two-edged sword. So as I'm cutting you and me at the same time. Because it's not my word. So one of the things that we hear so much from, especially the ox on the corner, about the law, the law, the law, the law. And yes, we're supposed to keep these things. Many think that all we have to do is follow the letter of the law and we will receive these rewards just by doing what we're supposed to do. And don't get me wrong, we're supposed to. I mean, it's supposed to be part of us, right? We're supposed to. It should be a part of our being, not something we do just to receive a reward. Like as we're children, we're cleaning up and we go to our parents and expect, I cleaned up and we got our hands out looking for some money or something. This is what we're supposed to do. So let's see what Yahusha has to say about that. Let's go to Luke chapter 17, verse 7 through 10. Luke 17, verse 7 through 10. All right. By which of you? Now listen to this, pay close attention because it's kind of hidden in between this passage here. By which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him, by and by, when he is come from the field, go and sit down to meat or to eat. And will not say rather unto him, make ready wherewith I make sup and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk and afterward you shall eat and drink. Doth he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise, you, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. These commandments that our fathers said they would do in the wilderness, which in return we said we would do them, they're our duty to do. We're expected to do these things. Right? We want some special treatment or something? We want special treatment for doing what was commanded of us. It's like a parent, some of the brothers that, you know, their fathers, they say, I take care of my kids, so I've been making this joke to my family. Like, what do you want, a cookie? You're doing what you're supposed to do. We're supposed to do these things. We are supposed to do them. So there's nothing that we should be expecting by doing something that we're supposed to do. Just do it. Now, you guys don't have this book, and I've mentioned this book to a few of the ox here on the call. But if you get a chance, you can find it on Amazon. There's a book called The Stick of Joseph in the Hand of Ephraim. I told a few ox about this book. Ak Yosef actually turned me on to this book. But it's a great book. It's basically from the bloodline of Joseph and his family, right? But there's a lot of stuff that's said in this book that I definitely wholeheartedly agree with. And one of the things I saw in this book, there was a statement made that since our life is temporal and our breath comes from Yahuwah, we owe him. We owe the Father. And when we keep his laws and his commandments, when we walk the straight path that we're supposed to walk, our ways may prosper. And we will receive, and we will receive favor. We're receiving favor right now in the land of our enemy. And he will preserve our lives. But we still owe him. We still owe him all that we have and we are. And if he doesn't prosper us or whatever, so what? We are expected to keep, to walk this straight path. So I'm gonna make a statement like the scripture says, but woe to those of us that go the other way. For the scripture says that we are in rebellion against Elohim, and now an enemy of we become an enemy of righteousness. Can you imagine being considered an enemy of righteousness? Can you imagine being called an enemy of righteousness before the return of Yahusha? I don't think we realize it. There's still things that's halfway good, even though we're seeing what we've seen in the last 20 months or however long it's been. We've seen this, and we see the enemy trying his hardest to close his grips on us. We are running out of time. I've said this before when I've come before you. We're running out of time. We have no idea what the future holds with what is going on every day. But I do know this. In the midst of all that stuff that's going on, keep your garment of righteousness on. Even Yahushua has called for us to keep or to put on this garment of white raiment. Kefir, let's go to Revelation chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. So we talk about this lukewarm. We've read this script before, right? So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou may be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Again, I hope that we have seen this and understand that white raiment is righteousness. Let's go to another script real fast. I love this script. Go to Revelation chapter 16, verse 15. Woo, did I just say we don't know when he's coming? Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Keeping his garments. I hope we're seeing that we're talking about righteousness here. I got garments on. Does that mean that I'm clothed and kept my garments on? No, we're talking about righteousness. He is talking about righteousness. He is, both times in these passages, he's talking about garments. And he says he's coming like a thief. That's, you know, he's made these parables before. For the master of the house is sitting there preparing for the thief. He's not going to come. This is when you least prepare. This is when you're least expecting for them to come. It's easy to do righteous deeds when someone is watching. But I say this, how about when the only eyes that are watching us are the invisible eyes of Elohim? When those alone are watching us, what are we doing? What's our deeds? I mean, it's one thing to put on your physical fringes. I go to these feasts, this brothers and ox, they all decked out, they got on the perp, they looking good. But are we really dressed in righteousness? Are we walking that straight path? I mean, remember, we see a lot of the the modern day Pharisees wearing fringes. What does that mean? Even though the fringes are supposed to remind you and keep your understanding reminded on the Torah. What does that mean, though? Like I said, I've seen a lot in these last 9 years. Saying one thing, claiming to do one thing or follow one thing, but doing something else. I just found out from an akh of mine that the girl he was messing with or dating, who was supposed to be in the walk, was dabbling in witchcraft. Who claims she knows the Shabbat and all that stuff, but still mixing. So going back to what Yahusha said about staying awake and guarding their garments, this is why, and Akpakadya, who jumped the gun on me, this is why it's mentioned that Adam and Eve were naked after they eat the tree because righteousness had left them. They was no longer clothed with the righteousness of Elohim. Now they're naked. They were not guarding their righteous garments. Yeah, that's okay, Pikachu. Also, when Yah told Moshe that Israel had become naked when they built the calf, you remember that? Has nothing to do with the physical clothing. So we have to understand when we look at these things, and I'm starting to see this more and more. I don't know why. Sometimes it took me. I don't know why it took me so long. But we kind of look at these things as spiritual talk. What does it mean in the spirit realm? They talk about garments and clothing and all that stuff a lot, but what does it mean in the spirit? But like Yahushua said, we don't want to be caught without this garment when he returns. Now, what will happen when we're caught without this garment when he returns? Let's go to Matthew chapter 22, verse 10 through 14. Matthew chapter 22, verse 10 through 14. All right. So those servants, now remember the wedding feast parable. We see the wedding feast parable. We notice this is something that we've seen time and time again. So we know what happened. The people that was originally invited, they didn't come. So now he's going out, go get to the highways and go find people. So let's go jump in there real quick. So those servants went out onto the highways and gathered together all of as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. When the king came in to see the guests, he saw there was a man which had not a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how come you come hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said to the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then it finishes off, for many are called, but few are chosen. Out of all the people that he saw at the wedding feast, and he said there were good and bad people there, there was one, there was one that did not have the wedding garment on. You mean you're going to show up to my wedding? You're going to show up to my feast without the garment on? You're going to show up? You're going to come to the feast days without my garment on? You're going to come without the garment is righteousness, people. You can't go buy it on Amazon. You can't go find the bruise to make it for you. This garment is walking the straight and narrow path. Let's put that garment on, family. The scripture also talks about wearing garments of fine linen, especially when it comes to encounter of heavenly beings. Now, you can write these scriptures down. I don't want to go and read all these scriptures, but there are some places where you see these scriptures about fine linen, right? So you have Revelation 15, verse 6. I'm just going to read these scripts to you. Write them down, and you can hit them up later. Revelation 15, verse 6. Ezekiel 9, verse 2. Daniel chapter 12, verse 6 through 7. Those are a few, but we're going to go to one that I want you to see. All right, so I'll hit those again in case you missed it. I know Pikachu who's got them in the chat. Revelations 15, 6, Ezekiel 9, verse 2, Daniel chapter 12, verse 6 through 7. All right, okay, I'll careful. Go to Daniel chapter 10, verse 4 through 6. And it is the 4th and 20th day of the first month. That's the month of Abib. And I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel. I'm probably torturing that. Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. To me, that sounds like Yahusha. I could be wrong, but this is what he saw. But if you see in that passage, what did he say he was wearing? Fine linen. Why would he have to report that he was, that was one of the reports that he saw. He was wearing linen. He was clothed in linen. Because I'm going to continue going and show you some things, because he was clothed in righteousness. That's what that means. You also hear about when Yahusha was wrapped in fine linen. Let's go to Mark chapter 15, verse 46. What did the centurion do? Oh, no, what they gave the body to Joseph. But what did Joseph do? He bought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulcher, which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone onto the door of the sepulcher. He took this body, which was beaten and bruised and bloody, and wrapped him in fine linen. If you guys bear with me, I'm gonna show you what the linen represents. I'm gonna give you some representations in the world today, what linen does. All right. So he was wrapped in fine linen before he was buried. Now maybe Joseph knew that there was spiritual implications behind that. Maybe he didn't. We don't have we don't it doesn't say, but there is a representation of righteousness. He was wrapping the righteous king in righteousness. Even the priests were required to wear linen garments. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 17 through 18. And it shall come to pass that when they enter in at the gates of the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments, and no wool shall come upon them while they minister in the gates of the inner courts and within. They shall have linen bonnets upon their heads, and shall have linen breeches upon their loins. They shall not gird themselves with anything that causes sweat. I'm gonna break that down, but if wool does cause sweat, linen does not. We're gonna get there in a minute, though. They were told to wear righteous garments. Now, this isn't a lesson on wearing linen, right? Or that we should be wearing physical linen, even though it's better for us, and I'm gonna show you some stuff. But this is an understanding on righteousness in the spiritual sense. So I'm going to give you real quick something I found out about linen. So we hear scriptures always talks about the linen, the linen, linen. I gave you a couple passages about that. The reason why linen is one of the most purest forms of material there is. We have other garments out there. Now, the two purest forms of linen or fabric there is, there's wool and there's linen. Now, what they did to figure this out, that all of our garments have a have an energy frequency behind it. They actually studied this, an energy frequency behind it. And those two, linen and wool, have the highest frequency. Cotton is pretty good. Our body as a whole has a frequency of 100. Cotton matches that with 100. The other garments, the other fabrics, are a lot lower than that. And I'm explaining this in a second. But wool and linen have the frequency of 5,000. So, what does that mean? 5,000 gives your body so much energy. It means that their sickness is gonna is it does not stay within you. It can remove sickness. So there's healing signature of frequencies over 5,000. It's effective in dealing with inflammatory conditions. It helps reduces fevers, right? It causes less perspiration, right? So like I said, our body is 100. That's our frequency of our body. Organic cotton has the same. So anything that's below that, it puts the body in a sense of disease. They said nearly a dead person has a frequency of about 15. Repeat that again. Nearly a dead person has a frequency of 15. Well, guess what other garments have 15 frequency? Polyester, rayon, and silk. Okay, now check this out. I told you linen has a 5,000 frequency, and so does wool have a 5,000 frequency. But guess what happens when you put the two together, when you mix those two together? They cancel each other out. Exactly. They cancel each other out. And what happens now, it puts your body, it start, it co your body starts to collapse. There's no energy. This is why Yah said in Leviticus chapter 19, 19, don't mix the fabrics. So I'm sure a lot of y'all already about don't jump on Amazon looking for Amazon fabrics yet. I'm done with the topic now. Okay? But don't look on the limit, don't look for linen right now. But that's what, and they studied all this stuff. They know this stuff. This stuff could cause linen does not cause allergic reactions at all. If you have allergies, it does not cause allergic reactions. It's effective in dealing with, like I said, inflammatory conditions. Anytime you have any inflammatory conditions in the body, that's disease. Some neurological ailments benefit from the use of linen clothing. I can go on and on and on and on. You can go look this stuff up. But we want to try and get away from those things. Now, I said this is not a topic about, and right, Johnson said it. Flax is a form of linen. Flaxseed is a form of linen. So, again, this is not a topic about, excuse me, going to buy linen clothing. I just wanted us to see what Yah was doing when he was telling this priest, who was supposed to be righteous before him, to go put on some linen clothing. This is why you see the whole thing of the Messiah, or the image of the heavenly angels, or whoever that they're seeing wearing linen. Linen is representing the righteous because the linen is pure. Right? Let's understand righteousness in the spiritual sense. What does Ephesians tell us? Ephesians chapter 6 talks about putting on the garments, go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. It tells us about putting on the armor of Elohim. Right? And we all know these verses, but let's look at this real quick. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Why is the breastplate of righteousness mentioned? I believe there are a few reasons why the breastplate of righteousness is mentioned there, right? You have a few reasons, right? First and foremost, in the practical sense of it, a breastplate is to protect the organs from attack, right? That should be self-explanatory. What are those organs that we're protecting? You got the heart and you got the kidneys. Another thing, when you see that, you got the breastplate on because the battle is in front of you. It's not behind you. That's why we don't have back plates. I always love using that. So that goes to show us that we should not be fearful in the face of the enemy. And we should be spiritually prepared. Right? Now we got the breastplate of righteousness covering the heart and the kidneys, but what does Yah say? He knows the heart, and it is wicked. Yeah, people are always like, "Oh, God knows my heart." Yes, He knows it, and it's wicked. He tries the heart and the kidneys, right? So why would you have to, if He trying the heart and the kidneys, why would you need to put a breastplate of righteousness on those things? My understanding when I'm gathering, by putting on the breastplate of righteousness, it spiritually makes us aware that the only way to conquer this wicked heart is by putting on the garment of righteousness. To remove wickedness from us and clothe ourselves in the garment of His righteousness, and to protect those righteous garments like Yahushua told us to do before He returns. Protect. He said guard. If you were ever in the military, you know to guard something is to guard it with your life. I have a family member that's a Secret Service agent. He guards the president. Somebody shoots at the president, they're stepping in front of him to take the bullet. Do we take the guarding Yah's word, His garment, His righteousness that seriously? To be willing to die for this righteousness. Sometimes when I'm doing these, because I know that we're I see the text chats, but I so prefer seeing live responses on some of this stuff. It just makes it a little bit better for me. Let's go to Isaiah or Yeshayahu chapter 59, verse 10 through 17. Let's see something here, because that Ephesians is not the first time righteousness is mentioned when it comes to breastplate. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 10 through 17. All right. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. So we look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but is afar off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and our iniquities we know them. In transgressions and transgressing and lying against Yahuwah, and departing away from our Elohim, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Keep going. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Go, yeah. Yeah, truth faileth, and he all departeth from evil, making himself a prey. And Yahuwah saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. We're just gonna stop right there. You see that? That's not the first time we are supposed to put on this armor of Elohim. But he said that he also did the same thing. And I believe, again, we're talking about Yahushua here, but again, I could be wrong. Now look at 14. Go back to 14 real quick. Judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the streets, and equity cannot enter. Talking about justice. That's what we're talking about, righteousness, tzedek. He said judgment is turned away. We don't want justice. We didn't want justice. So that's why we are constantly seeing the many injustices against our people. Because we didn't want it. Or we have or want our own form of righteousness. This is why Yahuwah told us that our righteous deeds are as filthy rags to him. Remember that visual I said before, like the filthy rags? And he's not just talking about, again, the rags that are dirty after a car wash. It goes even dirtier than that, after menstruation. But it also represents righteousness as a living spirit. Go back down to 17. He say we're seeing the description of the exact things that we are told to put on from this spiritual battle. So check this correlation out. He says truth is falling away. Well, if you know Ephesians chapter 6, what's the first thing he tells us to put on when it comes to this battle or this armor? He tells us to gird our loins with the belt of truth. Our people love lies. Some of us run to lies and falsehood. But understanding that without truth, there is no armor. There is no righteousness. That righteousness in verse 16 and 17, he said, it sustained him. And he put on righteousness as a breastplate. We're supposed to do the exact same thing. Isn't that amazing how that those two tie together? Let righteousness clothe us. Let's put on this garment of righteousness. And I'm almost done, y'all. But let's put on this garment of righteousness. I've got a few more verses involving this garment. Let's go to Job chapter 29, verse 14. Job chapter 29, verse 14. Yep. What'd he say? He said, I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. This garment of righteousness is a clothing. It's supposed to be all over us. Just like we take the time to get dressed in the morning to put on the shoes, the undergarments, all these different things. We're supposed to take that time to make sure our righteousness is covered, is on us all correctly. Like we go and we go out, put our hats on nice and all that stuff the same way with our righteousness. Make sure our righteousness is on. Make sure we're covered. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 3, verse 5. And I'm almost done, but I just wanted to make sure we got this. And I can go on and on, but this is just some deep stuff that I came across. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. I think I might have went down. Sorry. Go up a little bit. Sorry. Yeah, right there. That's where I went. I'll start right there. Now, Joshua was clothed with filthy garments. See that? Filthy garments. And stood before the angel. And he answered and spoke unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thy iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of Yahuwah stood by. Those are not just regular clothes. Again, we have to think about these things as spiritual. So let's remove those filthy garments from before us. And now these filthy garments are lots of different things. So many of us, they're lies, they're sin, they're pride, they're fornication. All the things which Yahuwah hates. And let's replace them with these garments, wrapping ourselves in the ways and straight and narrow path of Yah. Loving him first, loving our brothers, the basic tenets of Torah, right? But walking, not just speaking it, walking this straight and narrow path of Yah. Even when the only one watching is Yahuwah. One of the best examples I can give us. Now, we have plenty of examples in the scripture about people that are righteous, but I think that Joseph wins the battle in this conversation. How righteous was Joseph? Let's imagine that for a second. Being sold into slavery by your own brothers and not saying one bad word against them. The only thing he said was, "What you meant for evil, Yahuwah used for good." You hear about people that, you could have heard about him in this writing down the scripture, him plotting against him when he got out of jail. Man, when I get out of jail, when I get out of here, I'm gonna find them. Man, them they gonna, you know, he you didn't hear none of that. How righteous was he? He gave his brothers gifts when they finally got together. Yahuwah gave him favor in the land of his captivity. Do you want favor in this land, Israel? Stay righteous. They stripped off his coat of many colors, but they could not strip him of his righteousness. His story parallels Yahusha in so many different ways. What happened to Yahusha? They stripped him of his garments and casted lots, but they could not remove his righteousness. Potiphar's wife tried to seduce Joseph in so many different ways. If you read other books like the Testaments of the Testaments of the 12 Sons, there's different talks about what they did. And what she tried to do to seduce him, right? She tried to seduce him. He was looking that good, right? Right? He was, was it in Yasher, I think it was. It said that he was so good looking that the women was cutting that fruit and cutting in their hands while he was looking at him. Even with everything that she was doing to try to entice Joseph, right? She did all that to entice him, to seduce him. She happened to rip off his clothing, his garments, when he ran away from her. Although she was able to rip off the outer garments that he was wearing when he ran away, she was still unable to strip off his righteousness. Yasharal, this is the time we have got to look within. Let us remove these filthy rags from before us. Passover is approaching, regardless if we have the time right or not, like I mentioned in the beginning. Let's take all that time that we need. Let's start now and continue to examine ourselves always, all year round, to remove the sin or leaven from our lives, guys. Not just out of our homes, but away from our temples. Let's fall in love with the idea of repenting daily. Even if you don't think you did anything at all, for goodness sake, he gave us a day to repent and cover our sins for the entire year from the previous year. Don't you think repenting and atoning is important? If it's something like that, Leviticus tells us, right? Leviticus tells us that if you have sinned in ignorance, you're still guilty of that crime. Now, if it's something like that, that you've done something and you cannot remember what you did, take the time to pray to Yahuwah and for him to show you or show us what we need to atone for properly. Let's atone for these things properly through the blood sacrifice of Yahushua HaMashiach, so we're not seeing these sins revealed to us or shown to us at the day of judgment. Also, fast often. We as a people should not be fasting only on the Day of Atonement. That's religion. At one point in our lives, in our life in this walk, we should be able to complete a 40-day fast. We should be able to complete a 40-day fast. We should fast weekly. We should fast monthly. We should fast continuously, because this is how we get to the Yah. This is how we break the barriers. This is how we break the bonds of how
We are still caught into this bondage. If there is something that's still holding on to you, like soul ties from previous sexual partners you didn't had in the li in your lifetime, this is a time of fasting to remove these things from you. If there's something that you're trying to gain from the Father, fasting often to get that breakthrough. Remember, it took Daniel 21 days to fast before the angels were able to answer his prayer, because he was being held up. The angels were being held up by the wicked entities. His prayers are being held up. So you don't know if your prayers are being held up. Take the time to fast. Right? There's coming a time, guys, when we will see an all-out famine in the land. You can go in some of the grocery stores now and not see much food on the aisles. So don't let that be the time when we want to start fasting. Right? No, you're not fasting. It's a famine. Just think about that. And lastly, if you are one of those people that I mentioned in the beginning that is playing games or dabbling around in witchcraft, I would repent and come out of that before it is too late. Please don't take that unnecessary chance that you happen to die in that sin. Now, I can go on and on with this concept until I'm blue in the face, because there's a great deal of passages that we can read for ourselves to focus on the concept of righteousness, guys. But honestly, it doesn't matter if we aren't going to actually walk this thing out. Righteousness is more than a phrase you tell someone. It's a garment that must be worn. Let's wear it and guard it with our life, and make sure when he returns that our garments are found clean. With that being said, brothers and sisters, I am done. I thank you for your time. And until next time, you take care and have a merry, happy Shalom.
Let's serve Yahuwah. Let's serve our King. Let's serve Yahuwah, our Elohim. Let's serve Yahuwah. Let's serve our King. Let's serve Yahuwah, our Elohim. Let's serve Yahuwah. Let's serve our King. Let's serve Yahuwah. He's worthy. Let's serve Yahuwah. Let's serve our King. You know he's worthy. Let's serve Yahuwah. Let's serve our King. You know he's worthy. Our Elohim. Let's serve Yahuwah. Let's serve our King. You know he's worthy.
Let's serve Yahuwah.